Doug Karsh, Gator out today. It is Karsh and Anderson here on 97.1 The Ticket. Wow, what a day. Tiger Talk taking over is, look, very definitive reporting from Evan Petzold and Cody Stavenhagen. Those are the twos I saw. I apologize if other writers wrote about it, but that's what I saw, and it feels as though the Tigers are going to be not hyper-aggressive at the trade deadline. They haven't closed the door completely on making a move, and that's one of the things that they reported, and both of them said, you know, they haven't given up. I'll just read this verbatim. The Tigers aren't totally ruling out trade discussions for Suarez, but they don't seem intent on going all in for him either. Well, I mean, did they get an asking price and it was far too much? Is that what that is to imply? I just don't know how that's possible. If Josh Naylor netted a 13th and a 16th prospect, Suarez would come with a higher price tag. He's one of the big ticket items. But does that mean you have to go into those top five that they say now apparently are untouchable? McGonigal, Clark, Briseño, Lorenzo, and Rayner? They now untouchable? I mean, I don't know. 248-539-9797.
And Doug, I know every trade deadline every year is different. You know, they're not all the same. It's not all equal. But I feel like a lot of times the return is kind of underwhelming for everybody, not just the Tigers. So I feel like you can get a deal done if need be. Like, I don't think people were in love with what the Tigers got in return for Jack Flaherty.
They weren't.
Remember?
And they are now.
Yes, exactly. But it worked out, right?
Yep.
It's also the other team's job to find out who they like prospect-wise. It doesn't have to be the easy one that everyone knows is good, right?
Well, those rankings are opinions
exactly.
of people who aren't in major league organizations mm-hmm. right now. So, yeah, you're right. I would imagine that every team ranks prospects from other teams, and they probably don't look exactly like MLB Pipeline's rankings.
Absolutely not. Just like draft boards all don't look the same yep. for every team in the NFL.
Okay, Kang, I don't know if you've seen the results of this Twitter poll we sent out there. Another lifeless Tiger loss. Call your shot right now. Are the Tigers going to collapse and lose the division? So, again, let's put this in real terms. If you had to bet right now and each team fetch you the same return and you could bet on one team to win the division, who would you bet on?
I would take the Tigers. They have the lead.
Well, it's basically the Tigers of the field. Would you take the Tigers or the field?
The Tigers.
Okay. Yes, they will blow this. 46.3% of people who've responded think the Tigers will not win this division.
Wow. That is more than doubt creeping into your mind. That's doubt taking over your mind.
And it's almost half of our audience that has answered this question on social media. So basically, Twitter users think the Tigers are going to lose the division. Wow.
So they don't think they can get out of this slump.
They don't think they're coming out of this slump. We tried to warn you a slump was coming. This one's ugly and it's prolonged. Understood. But it feels to me like the smart money's on the Tigers over the division. That's crazy. I'm shocked. That's that high of a percentage. 248-539-9797. You can go vote and comment at DunGator971. So people prefer the field to the Tigers to win the division. Let's get back to your phone calls. Jimmy is next on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Jimmy.
Hey, Doug. Hi, King.
What's up?
Hey, you said that the Tigers are winning right now. You said that about 15 minutes ago. What are they winning?
The division.
They were winning the division. What do you get for that?
For winning the division?
Yeah, what do you get? You get in a playoff.
You get a chance in the playoffs, yes.
A banner that you won the division. They're not really winning. They got three players that might start for other teams in the whole MLB. They got some tremendous holes. And you're talking about prospects. You're talking about, is the pitching going to be good down the line? They have a chance right now, and they need to take the chance. You never know what tomorrow brings. I'm just sick of them.
Thanks, Jimmy. Let's go to Ben next on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Ben.
Hey, how's it going?
What's up?
Hey, I think we got to do something here. And I think we need to add some offensive production. And I like to look at Glaber as a good example. I mean, of course, you know, free agent offseason signing, and part of it was, you know, defensive need. But, I mean, a guy's leading for average and leading for on base. We just need somebody else that can put balls in play. And I also think I agree with you. I don't think you need to fucking sell the farm. Pardon my language.
Wow. No, you don't need to sell the farm. You don't need to sell the farm. But, you know, the fact of the matter is, do they need one at bat? And the question is that at bat possibly, is that bat Kerry Carpenter? Is that bat Kerry Carpenter? If the bat's Kerry Carpenter, then they could be in good, they could be in good shape. But, you know, they need him to return in the worst way and need him to produce. It can make a big difference to get him back here and hitting the way he does, let alone Parker Meadows turn into the Parker Meadows he was late in last season. That guy was such an integral part of that team's push in 2024. They desperately need him to return to form. And I, you know, maybe that was just the flash in the pan that feels like it's possible. Vierling could help, but a productive at the plate Parker Meadows is a big deal. Doug, the only game the Tigers seem to win are when Skubal is pitching. There is no World Series without Skubal. Well, not this year. If they don't have Skubal, but they dedicate money to other players, like that's... Let's be clear here what I think this is in response to. If in 2 years they lose Tarek Skubal and they have earmarked $250 million to go to him and he goes elsewhere, do they have a plan B with the Skubal money to make the team competitive anyway? That's what that was about. Next text. If the Tigers 100% do not have to dip into the top prospects, Dave Dombrowski managed to make trades every single year without ever having an outstanding farm. He traded top prospects. When they moved on from Cameron Maben to Andrew Miller, that was pretty seismic. Now, if you could do that and get Miguel Cabrera back for 10 years, well, you do it. But he did not trade top price. Jacob Turner was a big deal. He traded him. All the distractions are driving me crazy. With the future of Skubal, the trade deadline, the current slump, I'd happily coat myself in bear spray just to make it all go away so we can concentrate on baseball. Well, look, I mean, this is a hot topic. Trade deadline talk is always big. A year ago, it was sell talk. This year, it's buy talk. Dan writes in, the GMs in the city aren't interested in championships. They're interested in long-term sustainability and long-term gate revenue. None of them will make a big splash because it's more important to have the Atlanta Braves type success rather than championships and 5 years of losing. It makes me want to not be a fan. There's no point. Really? I mean, you wouldn't take what the Braves have done? You know, because they have won World Series. Right? They've won two since the last time the Tigers did and one in the last 5 years. And they've been competitive all along. I get that you want to win a championship every year. And the best way to win a championship every year is to have long-term sustainability. But the Braves won one in the last 5 years. 248-539-9797. What else do we got here? Next text, Diane in a car. Have you been in Comerica Park this year? It's full. It's electric. The fans are having so much fun. They should get the pieces they need to win a World Series. So I guess the question is, could they win the World Series without making a big splash? It's harder to imagine. And that's why I'm in favor of it. I'm in favor of what they're talking about doing as a bullpen arm and something else. That doesn't have to be Eugenio Suarez. And it doesn't have to be somebody that gives them that dips into their top five prospects. But honestly, if they don't, you know, if they haven't, if they don't make a massive move, it's harder to see them envision them winning the World Series, and their recent play has eroded that faith. That's why I'm in favor of more than just a bullpen arm. A bullpen arm and something else. Does it have to be Suarez or O'Neill Cruz or somebody like that? No. 248-539-9797. 97 won the ticket. Doug Harsh, Gator out today. He'll be back on Monday, 248-539-9797. So, look, it sounds like the game plan isn't to go big. And I'm not disappointed in not going big. I'll be disappointed if the one move they make is just a bullpen arm, because it feels like they could use a bat, and it certainly feels like it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world to get a starter. I'd prefer a bat to a starter as it stands right now. And I did see something today that teams have called the Diamondbacks about Lourdes Gurriel, and I like Lourdes Gurriel. And I think he could be a good platoon corner outfielder for this team. But, you know, he's owed a lot of money. But that I actually like that he's owed a lot of money. I like that he'd be under contract for a while here. I think he's a quality player. And that's kind of always been on my wish list. I really like Jake Bird, the reliever from Colorado, as a swing and miss guy out of the bullpen. But as it stands right now, it sounds like they just want to go bullpen arms, at least according to two insiders. Do I like it? No, I don't like it. So you go, all right, it feels like they've been operating in a competent way. Why would they do this? The only thing I can think of is the asking prices are astronomical, and that they want multiple top prospects for players like Suarez or O'Neill Cruz or whoever the top bats are they could get, or top pitchers that they might be interested in. And, you know, maybe it's Merrill Kelly from the Diamondbacks, who's having a really good year and seems to be available. You know, I don't know that I can believe that given what the Mariners just gave up to get Josh Naylor, who isn't as big a prize, but that was 13-16 in their organization. So anyway, 248-539-9797. Let's get back to your phone calls. We go to Jim, who's next on 97.1. Hi, Jim. Jim, are you there? Jimmy? Sounds like we lost Jim. Nope, phones are down for a minute. Okay, we'll get that sorted out. So we've got a few things here on the table. We've got that. We've got some Lions stuff to get to, as the Lions have started padded practices. Dan Campbell spoke early this morning. We'll get to it next hour. A couple things on the Twitter poll. You've got an hour left to vote on whether or not the Tigers are going to blow this division or it's just a slump. And 47% of you now are saying they're going to blow the division. Pat writes in, I'm counting on AJ to get these guys back on track. There's even good veteran leadership here too. Guys like Torres, Javi, even Scoobal should show more urgency in the fight out of this slump. So Pat thinks they're going to win the division. AJ says, I really want people who think they're going to blow this to offer up bets. The slump is concerning, no doubts. But if people truly think they'll lose the division, put your money where your mouth is, or you're just emotionally reacting to a bad stretch. DT Derby says, I made this bet last night. Hey, at least if they blow it, I get a little bit of cash. He bet $2,500 on the Guardians to win the division at plus 2,600. He bet $25, excuse me, on the Guardians to win the division at plus 2,600 would net him $675. No, they won't blow it, but I disagree, saying it's just a slump. Jim says, this is no slump. This is a middle-of-the-pack team who played way over the head the first part of this season. Michael says, yes, they'll blow it if Harris sits on his hands. If Harris does nothing, I will hope for an epic collapse. He'll deserve that for doing nothing. God, the hostility's high today. Andy writes in, will they blow the division? Doubt it. Are they true World Series contender? Unlikely. They've been outperforming their talent level, and this is just a regression to the mean. They're a good, not great baseball team. In 2006, the Tigers started 76-36, then lost 10 in a row. Everyone needs to chill. That's from DC. Well, there's very little chill today. I will tell you that. There is very little chill today. 248-539-9797. All right, let's go to Jim. You're on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Jim.
Hey, Doug. How are you today?
What's up?
Well, so I want, you know, as I've been listening, the last couple of days and hearing a lot of the panic with the Tigers, you know, and I agree with some of the things, you know, I don't agree with, like, yesterday you had the one caller that said they were terrible. Well, they're not terrible. I believe a lot of it is that they have played slightly above where they are. I believe this team, as it's constructed, is probably an 86 to 90 win team. You know, good enough to get in there. I don't want to see them go crazy. I was happy that Harris didn't spend a ton of money, you know, in the off season, because I wanted to see where this team was last year, just a fluke, and they did that. But I'm looking, you know, they're not as bad as this last week has went. Yes, are they having some issues? I'd like to see them go in the bullpen, and I know that kind of goes against what you think, but I don't want to see them give up those prospects either, because I do not believe this team is there yet. I think they're still a year or two away from pushing a lot of the money in. So I think this is emblematic of how a lot of Detroit sports fans go, that they kind of panic when things go bad. When things are going really good, they go overboard. And to that caller that talked about he wouldn't take Atlanta Braves, no, I take Atlanta Braves all day long, being able to have that consistency and go there rather than have what we did in winning a World Series in 1984 when I was in high school, and now we have been largely irrelevant since that time.
You know, look, I feel like the Braves have won two World Series in 30 years, I think it is. And would I take that? I mean, that feels like long stretches in between. But when there's 30 teams in the league, if you're winning one every 15 years, you know, that's not bad. But it's been it's been a long drought. And the way you win more than one is and win a bunch is by having a lot of talent and a lot of depth for a long time.
Yeah, it'd be a lot better having the Atlanta Braves than what we have had the last 30 years. I mean, I would take a lot of division titles, and yeah, we're getting into the playoffs. You know, I look at this from, so I'm, you know, this is going to be bad, but I'm a Steelers fan. My family's from Pittsburgh, and, you know, you see how they have went, and they haven't had a lot of things, but they've had this consistency of, you know, just getting in and doing that. I'd rather see teams be like that and be competitive and always thinking, okay, I do have an opportunity. You know, and sometimes opportunities are better than others.
I got a quick question. Jim, are you from Pittsburgh, or do you listen to a lot of Pittsburgh talk radio?
I do listen to it sometimes. I'm not from there. I was okay. Born here.
No, it's okay. You know, I guess the question I want to ask is, do Pittsburgh Steelers fans complain that their team should go for it more often?
Oh, yeah. I think, yeah, they do. Okay. I mean, you know, because I still have some, you know, family members that still live there. And, you know, I mean, and we don't see them all the time. But, yes, they, you know, I mean, a lot of the people that are there are frustrated with the fact that, you know, they haven't won, you know, more and haven't got to the, you know, because you think about, you know, when Tomlin first got there, you know, and obviously way back in the 70s, and you think of those things. But there's becoming a level of frustration where, you know, it's not just good enough just to keep, you know, the win streak alive for Tomlin.
It's funny because I think, and we appreciate the call and the perspective, Jim, it's rich to Lions fans to see a team that's won 6 Super Bowls, including 2 since the year 2000, to hear them complaining about not winning enough. But, you know, I think what we might be going through might be typical. Fans always want their organizations to do more. And, you know, I feel like we've just changed the team names because we complained about the Lions. Well, we took many complaints about the Lions trade deadline inactivity. Plenty of complaints about the Red Wings trade deadline inactivity, and now plenty of complaints about the Tigers trade deadline inactivity, potentially. We'll see what they do, but the story spelled out today doesn't sound like it's going to be a super aggressive trade deadline and that the focus is on bullpen arms. The one thing to keep in mind is this could all be PR, a way of setting prices for other teams out there, and making sure you're not giving the impression that you're desperate. So they are just setting the table to make the best deal they can. This could be that. whenever somebody says a player's untouchable or we're looking to make a deal, teams try and take advantage of those situations. So it could be setting the table. I don't know. I will be disappointed if it's just a bullpen arm. Definitely. 248-539-9797. Jeff in a truck. You're on 97 on a ticket. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, Doug. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Yeah, I got a perspective like this. So I kind of feel like we're playing a parlay with the Lions. Like you take the Lions -7, but then you take the team that they're playing at +3 and say, let's see if we can do this without losing anything and win all the money. It's like if you're going to keep Scooble for, you know, you say you got a window with Scooble for 2 years, then I don't understand why we don't go out and make a trade to make this team better. But then we keep hearing we don't want to lose any of our prospects. I'm good with that. But why don't we ever talk about trading a Cole Keith, a McKinstry, a Perez, a Carpenter, to get a guy that's a little bit better, plus we'll give you a prospect.
So that's an interesting possibility, right? If you're trading a player that's playing for you now and has contributed for you now, and you're adding in a prospect, you have to be getting back a player that clearly makes you better, presumably in the role of the player you just gave up, right?
I agree.
I mean, that's not out of the question.
Yeah, I'm saying like a Cerez. Okay, they say he's a rental, right? So we'll go ahead and let's just say we give you Cole Keith and we give you our fourth best prospect. And we say to ourselves, you know what, we're going to offer him 3 years after. The only thing I keep hearing on the Cerez thing is that, oh, we don't want him to, you know, we got McKinstry over there. We got Cole Keith over there. We got Beerling over there. And it's like, listen, we got 6 or 7 players that can play 3 or 4 positions. Do we have to have that many?
Yeah, you wouldn't be squeezing those guys. Those guys would be moving around, and you'd probably be squeezing a Parker Meadows out of the mix or some other position because you can move guys around. So it's not as if you get Eugenio Suarez, you're squeezing out the guys who played third base. They're just not playing third base as much. 248-539-9797. Nick and Novi, what's up, Nick?
Hey, yeah. I just wanted to say that the Tigers are not aggressive during this trade deadline. Then I think that what they're saying is one of two things. One, they're saying we know we don't have a shot. We don't have a realistic shot, and we're betting it all on the future, and we're not willing to give up that future.
So they're not throwing money. You think they're saying we're not going to throw good money at bad?
Yeah. They say that, you know we don't have a shot. We're going to wait for it because we got a lot of good prospects and we're going to see where things go. If that's the case, then I think you have a similar kind of outing in the playoffs as you did last year. Or they're saying we like our chances. We like what we have in our developmental leagues for bullpen arms that we can bring up. And we think that this slump is just, you know, is a blip in the radar, which I agree with. I mean, anybody who's played baseball knows you get in your own head and you get into slumps or you're not hitting. And it happens to be happening to most of the team. I mean, a few guys are doing all right. I mean, like Torres and Torkelson was good the other day and people are having hits and making moves. But I think for the most part, this is just a team-wide slump that should, you know, kind of turn itself around. What I think, though, is that, you know, we really should be aggressive if we're serious because Tarek Skubal's don't grow on trees and you don't get that kind of generational talent, you know, all that often. And if you waste your 2-year window that we have this season, next season, then he's going to go to New York or LA, one of the New York teams or LA and beat the crap out of everybody.
What's going on? 248-539-9797. We'll get to some Lions stuff next hour here on Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket.